The code is 314. 314. That code is 314.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, September 18th, 2025. Wow. September just cruising right along, and we're down, you know, we're on the downhill now for this month with just a couple weeks left, and we'll be into October. And you know what that means? Halloween, and then Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah, the holiday season will be here before you know it. It's crazy. It is just absolutely crazy how fast time is going by. But welcome into the program. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfeld, alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. That's 205-342-9904. We'd love to have you join us here on the program this morning. In fact, we got a call that we're going to get to here in just a second. What we're looking at today, very good guest lineup. Thursday's always strong. I'll have it for you here in just a moment. First, though, I need to tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com, alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the coach Ellis Johnson will be with us at 9:30 to knock down another week of SEC football conversation, and looking forward to that. Always enjoy coach's insights. At 10 o'clock, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com, Atlanta Falcons beat writer with a Falcons report. Big win for Atlanta on the road at Minnesota on Sunday night to get to 1-1. Easily could be 2-0. Probably should have beat Tampa Bay at home, but 1-1, coming off a win. We'll have that report for you. Then at 10:30, my pal Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor at ABC 3340 in Birmingham, talking college and high school football at 10:30. Your phone calls, as I said, are welcome, 205-342-9904. Something I want to mention real quick, because people have asked about my picks from last week. SEC point spread predictions against the spread. I went 7-4, pardon me, which means I've gone 6-5, 5-5, and 7-4. So pretty good, 18-14 overall, picking against the spread in the SEC. So it's not like I'm cherry-picking games, and I'm picking all the games in the SEC that have point spreads available. So not a bad week last week, and 18-14, not bad overall after 3 weeks in conference. And this quick reminder, too, no Alabama game this week, which means no Friday at the Free tomorrow. We'll be back next week to get that going. And looking forward to that. But no Friday at the Free tomorrow. I'll be in studio tomorrow. And also, we'll not have our Alabama football trivia presented by T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. We'll start that back up with the next game as well, which is next week as Alabama gets ready to go to Georgia. So that's a little house cleaning and housekeeping that I wanted to get out of the way. Now let's go ahead and take care of some phone calls. And we're going to lead it off with Corey and Trustful, and then we'll get to Pat. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Well, first of all, we got a good game tonight with the Dolphins and Bills. I know Buffalo's looked like one of the best teams, and the Dolphins have struggled. But with Mike McDaniel in the offense, you never can count them out.
And well, I'm gonna count them out, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on here tomorrow and say I'm wrong. But I'm in the Buffalo camp here. I do think Buffalo's one of the best teams in the NFL, and the Dolphins are 0-2. They were miserable against the Colts. They were better last week against the Patriots at home, but still didn't win. So I just don't see it. Maybe you're right. Maybe Tua can get hot with that offense and score a lot of points, but they're not very good on defense. They're not very good on the offensive line. And to me, Miami just has the looks of a 6-11 type team. Now, I could be wrong, and Buffalo looks like a team that's a Super Bowl contender. So, I'll stick with the Bills here. But it is always good to have Thursday night football in the NFL. I love it.
And if you look at Buffalo's schedule, it's really manageable. I mean, that they should win no more than 13 or 14 games. If you look at their schedule.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they got a chance to have a to win into the teens. I think you're right, Corey, especially since they've already beaten the Ravens. So, yeah, I'm with you.
As far as this Georgia game, I know it's a little more than a week out, but are you leaning toward Georgia or are you leaning toward Alabama?
Well, in the preseason, you know, I picked Georgia. I picked Alabama 10-2. One of the losses that I picked was at Georgia. So, right now, I'm leaning toward Georgia. I'm not going to make my pick for, you know, in season pick until, you know, next week. I'll make it on Tider Insider TV next Tuesday night. So I'm debating because I do think Alabama's certainly good enough to go in there and win. But right now, today, I'm leaning towards sticking with Georgia.
What do you think of Georgia think about doing another blackout?
Well, I've seen that all over the internet. Has Georgia officially announced that, or has that just been sites that have said they're going to do a blackout? If I were Georgia, I wouldn't do it based on history. Yeah,
But see, the thing is, they've won 33 straight home games without a blackout thing. Why do you need to change it up?
Well, I mean, and that just doesn't seem like Kirby Smart style to me. I'm with you. I mean, he's a lot like Nick Saban. We just go out and play. Until I see that officially announced by the University of Georgia, it's all over the social media, but I'm with you. I don't see any need for a blackout if I'm the Georgia Bulldogs. But hey, man, that's their program. If that's what they want to do, then they're more than welcome to do it.
Hey, when you have Jeff Spiegel on, can you ask what's his thought on the here at Trustful Huskies? They've had a really nice start, and they have a tough game against Hillcrest. And is this the year for them to try to topple Thompson and? Because they've already knocked off one giant in Hoover, and I know Hoover's down, but get them when they can, and can they actually win this thing? Because I think this is a really good team.
Yeah, I sure will, because I plan on doing that anyway, because that Hillcrest Hewitt Trustful game tomorrow night is my game of the week on Football Friday. So we'll be live down there tomorrow night at 5, and then it'll be our game of the week on Football Friday. So, yeah, it's a big game, and Hillcrest and Hewitt Trustful have both beaten Hoover, so interestingly enough. And Hillcrest did lose last week at Vestavia, but at home tomorrow night, it's going to be a great atmosphere, and I think Hillcrest has got a chance to, I would call it an upset, but to upset the Huskies. But yeah, Hewitt Trustful looks strong. I'll definitely ask Jeff about that.
What do we know about Hillcrest? Like, what's their team like?
Well, up until last week, they had been outstanding on defense. I mean, they had been really, really good. Of course, they got Zay Hall, the linebacker, the Alabama commit, and offensively very athletic, got a lot of speed. And, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw at Vestavia. They had some turnovers, but through the first 3 weeks, they looked like a team that, you know, could contend in 7A Region 3. They really did. I mean, they had two blowout wins, and then they won impressively at Hoover, and then got you know, they stumbled last week, but a lot of people, you know, are capable of losing at Vestavia. So that's not an easy game. I think they're a good team. Right now, in the region, I would probably place them. I'd probably place Thompson 1, Hewitt Trustful 2, and Hillcrest 3.
Aren't they more of a ground and pound time of possession kind of team? They don't throw it a lot.
Well, they do throw it some now. I mean, they've got, like I said, they got some athletes. They can throw it. I wouldn't say they're ground and pound. I'd say they're athletic. They can spread you out. They can, you know, they can run it, but they can throw it some in a passing game as well. So I wouldn't say they're just ground and pound by any means. I think they're more of a, you know, a team that relies on athleticism on offense than just pure power.
I'm looking at the SEC this week, I don't know about you, but if I'm Oklahoma, I'm concerned about their offensive line being beat up real bad. Now, yes, the game is in Norman, and that helps, but you have to have an offensive line if you want to compete in the SEC, and they're really beat. I think I heard somebody on a different radio station say that they might even be down to their third-string center, and they're really struggling to piece together an offensive line for this game. And that's going to be an interesting game. I think Missouri's going to blow out South Carolina with or without Lenore Sellers. And then Miami and Florida, that game might be close for a half, but I think Miami's got more talent. I think Miami will pull away. And then I remember some other SEC games that are getting going on. Do you remember the others, Gary?
Are you talking about for the SEC schedule? Yeah, there's only three that are SEC versus SEC this week. Hang on, I'll pull them up for you. There's most of the games, you got a lot of byes, and most of the games are going to be SEC versus non-conference. In conference, you've got Auburn and Oklahoma, South Carolina, Missouri, and that might be just two then. Yeah, it's just two in-conference games. Everybody else is playing non-conference opponents this weekend. So it's
Arkansas and Memphis looks interesting.
Yeah, Arkansas, listen, there are some interesting games outside of the Arkansas and Memphis is a very interesting game. Tulane and Ole Miss, very interesting game. You mentioned Florida and Miami. Outside of that, it should be, you know, now Georgia State beat Vanderbilt last year, but that was in Atlanta, and I think Vanderbilt's going to remember that and lay one on them. LSU plays Southeastern Louisiana. That's a no contest. Texas has not looked great, and they got Sam Houston State, but they should win. Mississippi State should get to 4-0 hosting Northern Illinois. But you're right, outside of the and, you know, UAB is not going to probably be competitive against Tennessee, but it's got some interest because it's an in-state school going to Knoxville. So, but Auburn, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, Missouri, your SEC games. And outside of that, you kind of got to cherry pick it a little bit. But Arkansas, Memphis, yeah, that'll be a very competitive game.
I know this is not in our area, but Texas Tech and Utah battle for the Big 12. And what I don't like about that game is that it's an 11 a.m. kickoff in Salt Lake City. I figured that would have been a nighttime game because when you're 11 a.m. out there, that's hard to get up for. And I know it's hard to get up anywhere for 11 a.m., but out there, that game kind of deserved to be prime time because those are two really good teams out that way, and that figured to be a nighttime game. But still some interesting games, and what's crazy is that just because you don't see an interesting game doesn't mean an upset isn't out there.
Oh, absolutely. In this day and age, man, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of games that across the country that you probably would look at on paper and not figure they're going to be competitive, and then you get to watch it on Saturday, and then they will be. You're right. It's more so than ever. There's a lot of parity. Hey, great call, Corey. Good to hear from you, buddy. If you want to call back tomorrow, you're more than welcome.
Oh, well, good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and get one more phone call in before we hit the break because Pat's been waiting for a while. Good morning, Pat.
Man, they cut and picking. Corey has some information.
He does.
And nobody, I don't even think Murph knows as much about Alabama softball as Corey does.
He loves it. I guarantee you that. He loves it.
No doubt about it. That I'm excited about this deal and coming up on this Georgia game. I'll throw something else in there at you. On this Georgia game, if Alabama can go in there and beat Georgia, which I think they can, I think even most of your silk suits in Vegas are getting a little closer on trying to get the money equaled out.
Mm-hmm.
That if we can beat, like you said, if we beat Georgia, that do you think that as bad as Marcus Freeman is doing on a coaching job up at there at the Golden Domers, they call us mobile homers. I can't stand Notre Dame. And do you think that this might open up a possibility of getting Elijah Golden to make a visit to Tuscaloosa? Because I think that when he decided on Notre Dame, that Alabama was number two or so on that list.
Yeah, I wouldn't count it out. I mean, in this modern era, man, I never count any prospect out. And Elijah Golden, as you said, a lot of interest in Alabama. excuse me. I will say this, Pat. I think sometimes prospects look at situations differently than fans do. I think a lot of times we see a team, you know, Notre Dame's lost two games and it's like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't want to go there. But most of the time, the prospects, that's probably secondary in their mind as to why they're going to a school. And they're not as affected by a win or a loss maybe as fans are. But, yeah, I wouldn't rule it out, Pat. I mean, there's several players that are committed to other schools that I'm sure Alabama still has involvement with. So, and you know, there's players that Alabama has committed that are being recruited by other schools. And so you could yep. wind up losing a couple guys, and you could wind up getting a couple guys from somewhere else. That's you know, that's not.
Have you been following Hillcrest closely?
Pretty closely, yeah. You know, I mean, I try to follow all the teams. You know, I'm in studio every Friday night because I do the hour show. So, you know, I mainly just get to look at the highlights that our crews bring back. But Hillcrest is a good football team. Hillcrest is a solid yeah. team. They're capable of beating Hewitt Trustful tomorrow night.
They've come up with a weapon at kicker. I'm hoping if I've got to pay for it, I'm going to see that he gets to go. And I'm just an outside observer, but I like kickers. And they've come up with a kicker that was my son's coaching soccer down there. And he said, Daddy, they said, let me show you some film. This is from his sophomore year as a kicking goal kicks. And the goal kick kicks from about 6-8 yards in front of the goal toward the opposite end of the field. And he was kicking the ball 70 yards, kicking a soccer ball 70 yards. I said, if he could work with him on kicking a football, that guy could turn into a darn good kicker. Well, he's putting the majority of his kicks that the coach asked him, because a lot of them he's having him kick them up high in air, sky kick them, and he do that too. But he kicked one off to the goal line. They recovered the ball on the 1-yard line. And it went in for a touchdown on one of their deals. And this kid's got, I think he's got 3 field goals now with 40-plus yards.
Wow.
As a sophomore. I mean, and he's only going into his junior year. That's pretty incredible for not having been playing football.
It is, and that's the beauty of these kickers. You know, they don't have to necessarily have football experience, as you alluded to come out and be a major factor in the kicking game. So I'll keep an eye out for him for sure.
Yeah, I watched it. He said, look at this. He said, this coach hadn't been working. The previous soccer coach they had wasn't using him like that. And this kid's going to make things interesting down there as far as soccer goes for Hillcrest, because he's going to be a weapon that's used in different kind of ways than he's been in the past. But, man, hey, wow. The coach said, he told the coach, I got the best kicker probably in the state on my soccer team. And they didn't even know about him. He
wow.
does now.
How about that?
He's a starting kicker.
Wow.
You know, and that just tremendous pop in the leg. Because, you know, kicking is primarily muscle memory
mm-hmm.
anyway. And we've been to many, many kicking camps around, started all the way back to Van Tiffin and Moore. My son is the coach down there. He actually won an age group. He actually won the Moore Tiffin kicking camp at Alabama. And he never missed an extra point when he was in high school or field goal. And he was only a 6'3", 240-pound middle linebacker. So anyway, so he had different things in mind besides kicking. Anyway, I just want to let you know that they got a weapon down there at kicker.
Well, Pat, I appreciate it, man, and I'm going to be – yeah, that's our game of the week tomorrow night, so we're going to have great coverage out of it on Football Friday at 10:30.
We'll talk about him next Monday and see what you think.
Absolutely.
Hey, you have a blessed day.
Thank you, Pat. Great phone call, as always. Good to hear from you. 20 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, I was in there yesterday, and unfortunately not going to be able to get in today. I've got a Alabama Sports Hall of Fame voting luncheon coming up at 11:30 this morning, so I'm going to be shooting straight from the radio station over there to the Capstone Hotel. But good workout yesterday, and I always have a good workout when I make it into the Y. Once I get there, I'm ready to go, man. People have so much energy. It's such a nice, upbeat place to work out. Great staff. Jeff Knox, the CEO, outstanding at his job. And if you're not a member of the Y, you ought to consider changing that. Get by and see them, 2300 13th Street downtown. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y.
Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. A flight nurse with Haines Life Flight received non-life-threatening wounds when a medevac helicopter she was flying in Autauga County was shot at by 48-year-old Peter Ellison. The helicopter was landing to pick up a patient in an open field at the time the shots were fired. Ellison faces state and federal charges. No motive has been released. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for the latest West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
We give that to them each and every time they come and visit us.
The sense of pride that we have in the quality, the consistency of our food carries over to everything we do in the stores. That's Taco Gas.
If you haven't checked out Who's Q and Brew already, it's time you did so. Tuscaloosa's best barbecue with lunch specials daily and night specials Monday through Thursday. We have a full bar featuring a new cocktail and wine menu, 16 draft beers, and $5 bushwhackers, and we have 17 TVs so you can watch all the big games. New food items include baby back ribs, house-made.
From the game, the Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers are possible this afternoon and this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow and Saturday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And if you follow college football, you're probably aware that the spring transfer portal window is going away. I think this is a good thing. College football is moving to a single transfer portal window, but it still hasn't been determined exactly when that's going to be. According to reports, the NCAA Division I Administrative Committee approved the elimination of the spring transfer portal window on Wednesday. And it looks like the portal is going to be January 2nd through the 11th. That's the proposed portal. But we will see. And, of course, if a head coach is fired, there's still a 30-day portal window open for the players. Right now, UCLA and Virginia Tech are in that situation, having just fired head coaches. So those players at Virginia Tech and UCLA could get in the portal right now and move schools right here in the middle of the season. But I think they're trying to help these teams that are in the playoffs lose players. But I'm looking at it, though. If they do it in January, that's when the playoffs are going to be going on. So you can still have teams that are in the playoffs losing players. I don't know. I don't really understand much of this. I've been saying this since all this started. I don't know if one's better than two. The more that I look at it, I don't know if it's good or not. We'll just have to see, I guess. Everybody's got to be flexible and fluid and able to adjust as things just continue to change. With eligibility rules and portal rules and NIL, it's just about as big a story as the games, it seems like, that we're dealing with. But They are looking to go to just the one portal. All right, 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're going to take a timeout, and when we come back, we're going to visit with the coach, Ellis Johnson. Quick reminder that the $99 suit sale continues at T-Town Menswear in T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. That's right, $99 gets you a full suit. Of course, T-Town Menswear presents our SEC football trivia contest every Friday that there's an Alabama football game. Not tomorrow, but we'll be back with that next Friday, giving away a great gift from their incredible collection of Alabama football memorabilia there, T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. All right, coming back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Schedule an appointment with Drs. Winfield, Tom, and Vincent by calling 205-759-7878 or learn more online at dchsystem.com.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, and it's time for the coach, Ellis Johnson, to break it down SEC football like only he can. And great action last week. Not a terrific schedule this week with some teams on bye and only two SEC versus SEC games, but still some interesting matchups. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, last weekend was pretty special. There was some great games played. Let's begin with that Tennessee-Georgia game. And, you know, we say you got to, you know, you're going to beat Georgia, you got to play for 60. And you know, I guess you got to play for more than 60 at times. I thought Tennessee, you know, I thought deserved to win the football game. But they didn't. And, you know, they got it into overtime. And Georgia won, and Georgia made plays when they had to make them, and it was a great football game. But that's what I guess has separated Georgia the last few seasons from most teams in this league, is they just find a way.
Yeah, they've got a mental toughness that you get in a close ball game with them, you're going to have to beat them. They're not going to lose a game. The numbers got a little skewed, I guess, with the overtime, but it did get a feeling towards the end of the game, Tennessee's playing better than Georgia in this game. But all of a sudden, you know, they let slip away that 10, get in the overtime. What I think is the most takeaway, Gunnar Stockton's going to be fine. There were a lot of questions coming into this season. Is this guy really good enough? And I think he's proven not only is he a pretty good athlete, he's a leader of that football team. And I was impressed with the other kid, too, Aguilar. I mean, coming out of a group of five program last year and going through all that turmoil out to UCLA and back. I think he's playing pretty doggone well. He had two picks, but one of them was not his fault. The receiver fell down and you know, he'd like to have it back, but that was not his fault. So, yeah, that was an early season showdown. You'd kind of like to see those two guys play a little later in the year, maybe. But it was a heck of a game.
It really was. Another really good football game up in Oxford. And for Arkansas, boy, this was an opportunity they let get away. I thought Arkansas should have won that football game at Ole Miss. But, again, you know, in crunch time, you can't have miscues. And sometimes these close games just comes down to, you know, who doesn't make mistakes. And Arkansas had an opportunity there. But Ole Miss, listen, last year Ole Miss lost at home to Kentucky, and it cost them big time. So at the end of the day, results matter. And, you know, Ole Miss survived. And that's a big win for them against a really game Arkansas team.
Yeah, Ole Miss right now, they're not playing quite as good on defense as they have been. I think that'll get better. But on the other side, Taylen Green, he's starting to have Bobby Petrino's fingerprints all over him. In a losing effort, he had a QB rating of 96. And when I look at those things, I'm not sure what all goes into it. That's the highest one I've seen this year in SEC. But he was unbelievable. I mean, a kid, 22 of 25 and 305 yards. Also ran the ball 14 times for 115 yards. So this kid accumulated 420 yards of offense a lot of these teams in the conference are not, their total offense for the team is not that much.
Yeah.
So I think he's a heck of a player, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. They've got to go to Memphis this week, and they've still got kind of a gauntlet to run to get to the end of the season. But if they can just play a little defense, they're going to be really a problem. I wouldn't want to play Arkansas in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, Taylen Green, and we'll talk about Marcel Reed in a moment, A&M, very similar players. But speaking of quarterbacks and what Lane Kiffin's able to do, with Simmons out, although he did come in for one play, Trinidad Chambliss, a Division II quarterback last year, threw for 353 yards in that game.
Yep, and I mean, first start, I think. He's got a decision to make. I don't, you know, nobody can do it better than Lane. I think he's a great quarterback teacher, and he'll make the right personnel decision. But you don't want that to become a controversy that's distracting to your football team. They got Tulane this week, and Tulane is a good football team. So they need to, you know, come back down to earth and keep rolling, because they still got some pretty tough challenges left on that schedule. I mean, really, right now, if I had to put the money down, I'd say they're going to win 10 or 11 games.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the playoff picture.
Well, yeah, kicking game factored in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee. It factored in and Arkansas and Ole Miss, and it factored in Notre Dame, A&M. And give A&M credit. This is the kind of game they've had a hard time getting over the hump in, but, it, you know, Notre Dame mishandled a snap on an extra point, which opened up an opportunity for A&M to win it, and they took advantage. And we mentioned Green, Marcel Reed, similar type game for A&M. He did it all, and they won in South Bend 41-40.
They have got a road ahead. I mean, they're looking good right now, Gary. They've got an open date. They're coming off of a big win against Notre Dame. The quarterback's playing good. They just, like you just said, they're playing decent defense, not as good as you'd think an Elko team could play. But they've got an open date, and then they've got Auburn coming to College Station, Mississippi State coming to College Station, Florida comes to College Station. Then they finally have to go on the road to Arkansas, LSU. But they, the next 4 weeks are sitting really good for them to be sitting there at 6-0. And I mean, that gives you a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum.
All right. Your game up there in Columbia. Nobody, I think, is surprised that Vanderbilt won the game. I think we know Vanderbilt's got a good team, but 31-7, and the problems that South Carolina is having on offense. You're talking about, you know, we've been talking about great quarterback play. What's going on with the Gamecocks offensively?
It's extremely hard for me to put my finger on it. You know, I do a Carolina Clemson thing on Wednesday nights, and it's kind of a offense versus defense, and another guy kind of does the offense. And we know we were talking about it last night. I mean, they got beat by a good football team, but they got beat bad. And the thing that they thought was going to be their crown jewel was Lenoris Sellers. Somebody being a Heisman candidate. Mm-hmm. ESPN talked about him being the top-rated quarterback in the draft. And it just hasn't looked like the same guy for the first three games. Of course, he got knocked out of the game toward the end of the second quarter on a targeting call. But I don't know how much difference it would have made. He'd already thrown a pick when he left the game and had not thrown the ball but about six or seven times. It's hard to explain. He'll be back, but they've got to go on the road to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as hot as anybody in the league right now. I wish I could tell you what's going on. They knew defensively they lost a lot of good players from last year. Defensively, they've not been bad. They've got great team speed, aggressive, and so forth. They don't have quite the physicality. The defensive front's younger and not as big and physical. They have a little problem stopping the runs. This offense with Vandy, I mean, the quarterback runs and all the things you have to stop. If you can't get the thing stopped inside, it will drive you crazy. And I mean, the possession time and the number of snaps and everything, but the possession time just got to be overwhelming. But I mean, they turned the ball over four times also. So I'm not sure what's wrong, but they got to go out to Missouri to try to figure out how to fix it, and that's going to be a tall challenge.
How much heat is Mike Shula catching from the fan base?
Well, people are puzzled. I mean, there's nobody that's stupid enough to not know that Mike Shula can coach a quarterback. Everybody's a little puzzled because it looks like Lenoris is trying to be a better quarterback to transition to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta if you're going to get everything from that kid, you gotta let Lenoris be Lenoris. He's a lot like the kid at Alabama last year. I mean, you try to make him a pure pocket passer, mm-hmm. but he's got the arm, and he can sling it. He can throw it 60 yards. I don't think he sees things real good in coverages. He's not an experienced quarterback in that area. When he can pull it down and run it and make you get out of all these man coverages and things, he's a better quarterback. So far, he just has not done that. He did it twice, maybe against Virginia Tech. But right now, we know Virginia Tech's not a very good football team. So Carolina's played one decent team so far, and they got whammed. I mean, I don't know who they are right now.
Well, Coach, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, you got some of them are playing great in this league, and then, you know, you mentioned issues in South Carolina. What about with Manning at Texas? I mean, there's a lot of people out there now that are just trying to figure out what the heck is going on. I mean, they beat UTEP by 17 points, 27-10, but he never could pull away. And Arch is just everything from watching him throw the football to the numbers to I mean, it's just not good quarterback play right now by him at Texas. Can they get it turned around? You know, they get another, I think it's Sam Houston this week that they get. But what do you see from Arch Manning in that Texas offense? Been very pedestrian.
Yeah, the thing that has surprised me the most is decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, with his background and so forth. But what people need to go back and check what you said about him and what you based it on. Coming into this season, he's not played hardly any quarterback in college. Just a few spots here and there. And in high school, he played against, I think, some average competition. So he probably was overrated coming out of high school, but you know he's got talent and he's got the ability and he's got a great coach, both scheme and quarterback coach. And it's puzzling to watch some of the things he does with his decision making. They ran for 227 yards and threw for 114. And that's a formula that, you know, they can get away with that against UTEP because they're playing unbelievably good defense right now. But if he doesn't improve, I don't know how long they can just lean on that running game. I'm surprised that he's playing as badly as he is. I'm not surprised that he looks like a true freshman.
Florida and LSU, boy, that was a chippy game last Saturday night in Baton Rouge. Had an incident before the game, had some dust-ups during the game. But LSU gutted it out 20-10. And, you know, with Florida, you're talking again about DJ Lagway. He put up 287 yards passing, but mistakes, you know, he's not playing well. And Florida now goes to Miami. I mean, they got a chance the season to get away from them very early on if they don't turn it around quickly.
Yeah, another situation where your quarterback is one of the things that you feel like is going to be your thing you can hang your hat on. I mean, some of the things he did last year when they turned their season around and got it going, and it wasn't all, but the vast majority of what turned them around was Lagway. So you come into this season and you're expecting to be able to lean on him a little bit. He goes down and throws five picks, and you're still in the ball game at the end of the game. LSU's struggling with the running game right now for some reason, and they're kind of funny, too. They had defensive issues last year, must have fixed it with the portal, but right now they're playing good enough defense to win the conference title. But offensively, they can't get the motor going. And the running game is really – it's causing Nussmeier to start pressing and have to make plays that he can't make. But I don't know what Florida – I mean, if Lagway doesn't get back on track and start playing consistently – I mean, obviously, like you said, he got 287 yards of passing. He's capable. But when you throw the other team the ball five times, I mean, I don't know anybody that can overcome that.
Nope, it's hard to. And, you got to throw it to your own guys, that's for sure. Speaking of good quarterback play right now, boy, Ty Simpson is just been phenomenal in his last two games. He's 41 of 46 in his last two games against Wisconsin, 24 of 29 for 382, four touchdowns. Had two drops. Ryan Williams dropped a touchdown, and Brooks dropped a ball that would have been a big gainer on a third down play. So Alabama's quarterback probably had as many questions as any in the league going into the season, and I know they haven't played an SEC game yet, and they'll go to Georgia next Saturday. But Ty Simpson has certainly answered the bell, Coach.
Absolutely. I go back to the very first drive he had against first opponent. And a 17-play drive, and I mean, he looked like a a machine out there. But then it sort of fell back a little bit. I guess what we can take from this, and we don't, like I said, we don't know for sure because they hadn't gotten in the meat of the schedule. Wisconsin's not a real good Wisconsin team, but they've got Big Ten players. And for them to put it on them the way they did, I think Alabama's back on track. And also it says that Florida State's probably for real. I mean, they got surprised down there, got hit in the mouth and didn't respond. But it wasn't some kind of major upset like everybody's saying. Florida State's still winning, still ranked, and they're a good football team. The thing I think was most important is I know he had that drop, and that's uncharacteristic, but Ryan Williams at least started to show up.
Oh, yeah. Bit. Yeah, he was dynamic.
He's got to make big plays if he's going to be a contributor to that team. That's what he does. But he had five catches and had 175 yards and two TDs and so forth. And he can get back to being the athlete he is, the dynamic athlete he is. That's going to be a huge deal. But I'm like you. I'm very impressed with Ty Simpson.
Yeah, he's been good. You're right. Ryan Williams, 5 for 165 and the 2 touchdowns. And like you said, once he gets the ball in his hands, it's a special type of athlete that you're watching. All right, let's. We've already touched on it a little bit, but you look ahead of this week, just the two SEC games, but and we'll get back to South Carolina and Missouri, which you've already touched on a little bit. But Auburn and Oklahoma, you know, with the Jackson Arnold drama, you know, Oklahoma's quarterback last year, and there's a lot of talk about Venables, you know, wanted to keep him, and, you know, they didn't have much of a meeting, and he went in the portal and wound up at Auburn. He's playing really well. Of course, Oklahoma wound up with Mateer and the offensive coordinator from Washington State, and they feel like they've upgraded. It's in Norman. Oklahoma beat them last year in Auburn. But both these teams have designs on the college football playoff. This is a huge game because the winner is going to have, you know, not in addition to being 1-0 in the SEC, it's just going to have a ton of momentum. And the loser, when you look at how tough this schedule is for anybody in the SEC, you go 0-1 to start conference play, you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I think these two teams are so similar. And not just because of that little quarterback shuffle, that makes it interesting, but both of them are coming off of situations where they've been frustrated for the last couple of years, not playing to the level they think they can. They both made quarterback changes. They're both playing, well, they both at least have one decent win out of the first three, but the other wins are not yet impressive. This is a huge game, like you say, for both of them because they're both in almost the same situation. I think Oklahoma's got the nod on it because they're playing at home. And I also think their win against Michigan might have been a little more impressive than Auburn's win against Baylor. But that, you know, trying to compare opponents, you can do that all day. But I couldn't agree more. It is the biggest game in the conference because both of these teams are good enough to be in the picture at the end of the season. And you have to give Oklahoma a little bit of a favor because of being at home.
All right, back to the Missouri-South Carolina game because Missouri has been lights out so far this season offensively. Man, they have been they've been rolling it up on people, and the transfer quarterback from Penn State who had to step in because of injury and didn't throw it great at Penn State. He's a good athlete, but he's throwing it well enough. And Bo Prabhula, they're a team right now that looks really, really strong. Of course, now they get into conference play in South Carolina, coming off that disappointment at home. But that's when teams in this league, sometimes it's weird. You'll have a very poor performance, and people kind of write you off at home, and then you go on the road. I mean, I'm expecting South Carolina to play better this week. Will it be enough to upset Missouri?
I don't know. And, I mean, you're exactly right the way you've described it. If there's ever a time where there could be an upset that just surprises the heck out of you, this is it. They haven't won out there since 2017. And also, they're not playing well right now. Sellers is going to play, but he didn't practice every day this week. You know, South Carolina does not have a decent win. We know the Virginia Tech win now is not very much of a win. They also beat South Carolina State and struggled without the kicking game. They were almost, you know, in a trouble against an FCS opponent. They're going out there. Missouri's ranked number 4 in the nation in total offense and number 5 in the nation in total defense. I mean, like you said, they are playing lights out. They're going to play 6 home games at home contest before they ever have to go on the road, and they go to Auburn in about 3 or 4 weeks. So they could easily be sitting there at 6-0, you know, ready to roll and get some confidence for the rest of the conference. The quarterback's playing really good. Running back, Hell Hardy, I mean, he's probably as good as anybody in the conference right now. He had 250 last week. So this thing sets up for just a, you know, a physical butt kicking for Carolina by Missouri. But just like you say, those are sometimes the ones in the Southeastern Conference that end up getting flipped. So, if Carolina doesn't play better, they're going to get beat by 20 points. If they do play better, it could be a heck of a fight.
All right, Coach, couple of minutes left. Florida goes to Miami, and again, I mean, Billy Napier was in this situation last year, and his team fought back in the second half of the season. I'm looking at this pretty much the same way. If Florida doesn't play better, I don't see any reason Miami just won't lay one on them.
Yeah, this is another one I think could end up being a big upset. But if Lagway can't get some consistency and take care of the ball, I don't see how they stay with Miami. Miami's legit this year. They've got a good, solid defense. They've improved in that area so much than last year. And then the kid coming in from Georgia in the portal, he's played really well. And he fits their system so good. So, I mean, Florida's got to play better. Man, they have got to quit turning the football over. The defense is good. I mean, they'll go down there and they'll give Miami all probably the best defense Miami has faced. But if they don't play better and take care of football, I think Miami, of course, playing home too, that's not a huge home advantage down there. It's kind of a fickle, I guess you call it fan base or something. But it could be a big upset, but Florida's got to play better.
What do you think of Tulane at Ole Miss?
Ole Miss better be ready to play now. I mean, Tulane's a good, solid football team. But I think they will win. I don't think they're going to beat them 50, but I think that's going to be a really good football game because Tulane's for real now.
And Arkansas and Memphis in the Liberty Bowl. Memphis is another one of these teams. That's a big, you know, rivalry based on geography. Arkansas coming off that tough loss at Ole Miss. Are they on upset alert?
That's what bothers me the most is they come off a frustrating loss to a team that had a chance to beat. It would have been a huge victory for them. But Memphis 3-0. And they're a good football team. So they can't be, you know, they can't have a full week of preparation and go out there and not be ready to play. They're on an upset alert. And I've got a good friend up there, you know, Rob Brown, but there's a lot of talk up there. Memphis thinks they can beat Arkansas. But it's going to all come down. If Taylen Green keeps playing the way he's playing, they just need to find some defense.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Coach, as always, man. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it, Gary.
Thank you. 9:53. We're going to come back and wrap up hour number one and get you ready for the second hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, Alabama's back out on their practice field preparing for Georgia. We'll cover that. We'll also talk with Connor O'Gara. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. And we'll talk to Aaron Torres starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Feel like it was custom made just for your foot. Plus, we have hands-free Skechers slip-ins technology. Just step it and go. Find yours at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and
Saturday, September 20th at Government Plaza from 10 to 4. VIP tickets and event info at TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers are possible this afternoon and this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow and Saturday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:58. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is coming up. We're going to get started with a Falcons report from D. Orlando Ledbetter. We'll also take phone calls in the second segment. Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC, your home for Alabama sports.
I was cruising with my favorite gang. The place was so boring, filled with out-of-towners touring. I knew that it wasn't my thing. I really wasn't caring, but I felt my eyes staring at a guy who stuck out in the crowd.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Tigers have lost their fifth in six games as they drop one to the Guardians 4-0. Houston right now leads Texas 5-2 in the seventh inning. The A's in Boston in extras tied 4-4 in the tenth. San Diego has a 7-4 lead over the Mets in the ninth inning. The Mets have hold of the final spot in the NL wild card right now. The Giants beat the Diamondbacks earlier today 5-1. Reds 6-2 winners over the Cardinals, meaning Arizona's two games back, while Cincinnati and San Francisco are 2.5 games back of New York. The New York Yankees leading the Minnesota Twins 8-5 in the eighth inning. The Mariners looking for their 11th straight win right now, trailing the Kansas City Royals 5-4 in the eighth inning. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels missed practice on Wednesday with a sprained knee. Head coach Dan Quinn said the soonest he could practice is Friday. Justin Fields ruled out of Sunday's matchup for the Jets with a concussion. I'm Martin Weiss.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two of The Gary Harris Show on the air here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC. This hour being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. An Alabama community means everything, and at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us. Injured? You won't get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys right here at home. Paul Patterson, North Patterson, born here, live here, raising their families here. I think that matters when it comes to a law firm. Local is better. Call if you have any legal questions at 205-345-1000. That's 205-345-1000, or go to PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
And it's Thursday, and that means it's time for D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. And boy, Good week for the Falcons. Minnesota on Sunday night, Orlando. They went in there, and the Falcons took care of business. Boy, J.J. McCarthy really struggled, wound up getting hurt in the game, and Atlanta gets a 22-6 win, a road win that they needed after letting one get away at home, a division game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no doubt. Gary went up there and methodically moved the ball down the field, got some field goals from the field goal kicker they just signed, and pulled away late to beat the Minnesota Vikings in a good old-fashioned road win there.
Yeah, the decision to go away from Koo, the new kicker came in and was impressive.
Yeah, he made 5 of 5. The first one was a little shaky. But he hit a big 54-yarder late to give them a 2-score lead in the game. And Parker Romo, kid who played at Central Arkansas and Tulsa, and I think he finished there at Virginia Tech. So he's been around a little bit.
And the defense, my gosh, man, that's a Minnesota offense that against the Bears, yeah, most of the game they struggled there, but in the fourth quarter, you thought they had kind of found their legs and were going to be a handful for the Falcons, but they managed only 2 field goals against that Atlanta defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The defense got after it. You know, we've been clamoring, writing about sacks for a long time, and so they finally – they got 6. They hadn't had 6 since 2018 in that Adrian Claiborne game against the Cowboys. So the pass rush came to life. They had pressure on Baker Mayfield but didn't get the sack. But against the Vikings, they were able to get home and really keep the Vikings off the field. They only ran 47 plays.
Yeah, and the Falcons, you know, boy, Robinson came through in the run game. Penix Jr. did what he needed to do. He managed the game well, only threw for 135 yards, but that Atlanta offensive line was kind of able to dictate, you know, the game and able to, you know, open up some stuff in the run game.
Yeah, no doubt. Came right out running it out the back door and got 25 on the first play of the game, and then just never let up. They did stall in the red zone and, you know, give the Minnesota crowd part for that, because they get so loud up there, they couldn't get their signals together a couple times. They had to settle for field goals. But, yeah, they ran it. They masked them between the 20s. And then when Bijan got up to 22 carries, they went to Tyler Algier to let him close out the game. And he ran hard there in the fourth quarter. That was kind of textbook old-school football win when you get it on the road like that when you run out the clock. So, that was good to see. They haven't been able to do that in a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So now you got momentum. Again, the Tampa Bay game still going to sting because that was a division game at home, and Atlanta, you know, had an opportunity to win that game. But a road win, 1-1, and you go to Charlotte to play Carolina on Sunday. It seems like we say this every year about the Panthers. They're starting out 0-2, but they found something with Bryce Young in that offense in the fourth quarter at Arizona. Almost came back and won that game. And it seems like when Carolina really makes a decision to let Bryce throw the ball down the field, they're much more effective. But it seems like they come out every game, you know, nickel and diming it, short stuff, run game, and just play very conservatively. Then they get behind. Do you think you'll see Carolina maybe start out being more aggressive on offense in this game? What are you expecting from the Panthers?
Yeah, they're going to have to try because it looks like A.J. Terrell's going to be out. You know, they were working through some things at wide receiver. They know T-Mac's fine. Hunter Renfro's getting more comfortable. Xavier Leggett is off to a slow start. So they may just kind of pull him off to the side and let the others handle it for now. They have to – whatever they did to score 19 points in a row, they need to stay with that because that was working. And, you know, they've fallen behind 40-6 in these first 2 games in the first half. So you know, they can't – whatever was working there, I'm sure they're going to try to go to that and then maybe target who's ever starting for A.J. Terrell.
And when you look at the Falcons, this is big. I mean, you don't want to go down 0-2 in the division. And this is a team that even on the road, Atlanta, it looks like a better football team than Carolina. How important is it for the Falcons to go to Charlotte and get this victory?
It's very important, Gary. You want to be a consistent team that, you know, goes out and plays to a certain level. Then you go and handle your business here. You know, you did. That was a big win on the road in a tough place. And you can't, like, you know, go up and down, back and forth with your performances if you're going to be a contending team in the league. So you need to go up there and take care of your business against a Panther team that's still trying to find their way.
You've seen them now for 2 weeks and a loss at home and a road win. I mean, I think probably before the season, we probably would have said they're, you know, if they're 1-1, they would have won at home against Tampa and lost to Minnesota. But regardless, they've looked pretty good in both games. Do you have a better opinion of the Falcons now after two games than you did going into the season?
Yeah, because I knew that people were going to take away the deep ball. And the whole thing was, hey, will Michael stay patient? Will he force stuff? And he's been patient. He's been throwing it underneath. He's like, hey, well, my check down is Bijan, so that's not a bad deal right there. So that's what he's been doing, taking care of the football. You know, they haven't scored a lot of points. They got red zone issues, but they've been able to, you know, put up some points and get a W off of Minnesota. So you can see where progress is, you know, headed in the right direction if they could blend that together. Hit some more passes off of the run game. At some point, they're gonna have to bring that safety down in the box, and that's when he'll get his chance to throw it down the field. But Minnesota left the safeties back, so Zach Robinson just kept running the ball. So that's you got to figure out how people are gonna try to play you moving forward.
All right, go ahead and tell us what you think is gonna happen on Sunday. You think the Falcons get the win?
Yeah, I think Carolina's, they're still just trying to figure it out. It will be their home opener, but, you know, they don't have enough weapons still. You know, they do have the running backs. I like Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, and then they got Trevor Etienne in the backfield. But this team is, I don't think they got enough power up front to just run it down the Falcons' throat. So I think the Falcons will come away with a W here in Charlotte over the weekend.
After 2 weeks, Orlando, it's, you know, the NFL is what it is. We know this. I mean, you got to be ready to play every week. But so far, just very small body of work. You think the Eagles are the best team again? What about Buffalo? Who are the teams? And, of course, obviously the Colts are off to a fast start. You look around the league right now, who are the top teams in your opinion?
Yeah, certainly those, but I've been more surprised with the Packers and how good they look.
Yep.
With Micah being in there. They look awesome Thursday night last week. Just if they're going to be able to get a good quarterback play or an elevated quarterback play for Jordan Love. Certainly the Bills and the Eagles have come out, you know, like the bullies we thought they were going to be. But, yeah, the Packers are the surprise team. And the Rams. The Rams are looking great here early. Surprisingly, you know, with Stafford, you know, not playing and being a little older. But, yeah, they've come out the gate swinging, too.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay 2-0 got a big win at Houston on Monday night. So it's going to be fun watching this league unfold. Real quick thought on the Tom Brady deal.
It's early.
Yeah, what do you think of the fact that he is a minority owner of the Raiders? He was in the coach's booth the other night with a headset on. He's working games for Fox every week, visiting with coaches in these production meetings, getting insight to do the game. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I think they, you know, everything's on video. But some people say that this is a conflict of interest. What's your thoughts on Tom Brady's situation?
Yeah, it's a classic conflict of interest. I mean, do one. Either you're gonna own the team and be an owner, or you're gonna be a broadcaster and provide people with the information. It's just the boldness that he doesn't even see the impropriety, you know, and we know the history with the Patriots and how many times the league had to fine them for different things. Just seems like he thinks it's a different set of rules for him than it would be for the normal broadcaster.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I guess it is Orlando because they're letting him do it.
Yeah, I guess they don't all have 6 Super Bowl rings.
He's getting to do both, be an owner and get to work games for Fox. Hey, great stuff. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, I run on X at D'Orlando AJC. Our website's AJC.com. And sign up for the Dirty Birds Dispatch newsletter. Thank you.
Thank you, Orlando. Terrific segment. All right, 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show, and lunch will be coming up shortly. And at 11 o'clock, Who's Q and Brew opens over in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. I actually went by there for dinner last night. It was wing night, so I got 10 wings for 75 cents a piece, and they were awesome. I got the barbecue style. But they're open for lunch, and they got all kinds of specials. And just terrific food, great atmosphere. That's Who's Q and Brew in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. We're going to come back and take phone calls. Mary from Atlanta. We hadn't heard from Mary in a while, and she's been patiently holding. So she is going to be on the line with us when we come back. And you're welcome to join the conversation as well. 205-342-9904.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com, brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Cancer is the number two killer in the U.S., and West Alabama Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell told a House committee meeting considering the Multi-Cancer Early Detection Act, it would save lives by ensuring citizens have access to the latest cancer screenings.
This year, more than 600,000 Americans will die from cancer. This number could easily be reduced with early detection tools.
The Congresswoman's mother died from cancer. 12 West Alabama organizations getting almost $300,000 from grants by the Alabama State Council on the Arts. And amid heavy security, hundreds turned out for the We Are All Charlie Kirk tribute at Two Dimes last night on the Strip. Tuscaloosa Mazda's working hard to serve you better. Come see our new or pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel
efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after
sauce. Listen to The Game with Ryan Fowler every day from 2 until 6 for how to win a tailgate package for football season from Fusakli's and Tide 100.9.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers are possible this afternoon and this evening. A high today 92, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow and Saturday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and a little calm before the storm this week with Alabama and Georgia both on bye. But next week at this time, we'll be getting ready for a showdown in Athens. And if you're headed over for the game, of course, you'll have to go through hot Atlanta, and that's where Mary's at this morning. Mary in the ATL. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better. How are you?
Doing great. What's been going on with you?
Well, I haven't intentionally stayed away. I have been swamped at work, projects and audits and all the things. The grind never stops. But Friday, we had a bit of an incident where I'll just say things could have ended a lot differently, but I'm just thankful to still be here. And nobody got hurt, so I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, we're certainly happy that you're here and nobody got hurt, that's for sure.
Yeah,
so
yeah, everything's good.
Well, good. Well, what about some ball? What are your early thoughts on the Tide and the Dogs?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not taking them for granted. I can't take them for granted, even though they have been on a bit of a streak. They're in Tennessee. Definitely impressed me. That game against Tennessee impressed me a lot. I feel like both quarterbacks definitely showed their talent on the field, but I think in that game, I definitely favored Tennessee over Georgia. I expected them to win, but of course we know that that turned around very quickly. But I feel like this game in particular could be a make it or break it game for us. This could determine everything. I mean, I know we have other road games. We have Missouri. We've got South Carolina at South Carolina. We've got Auburn there. But I feel like this could be the statement maker of the season for us. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's big. As I've said, I'm with you. I think that if you win the game, you're 3-1. You're 1-0 in the SEC. I mean, you've got a ton of momentum. If you lose, based on the fact that you also lost at Florida State, even though that was a non-conference game, to come out of this game 2-2, 0-1 in the league with what they have left, you're running uphill. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to say that Alabama couldn't do it. It's not to say that Alabama couldn't lose at Georgia and still, you know, run the table or even, you know, if they get to 9-3, be in the playoff. But it's going to be very difficult. If you're 2-2 after four games and 0-1 in the conference, it's going to be an uphill. It's going to be an uphill climb. I think I'm with you. This is a pivotal game for Alabama, and if they don't win it, it's going to be. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not underestimating them by any means. No matter how talented they think they are, and I honestly think I'm biased because I live here and I just genuinely do not like them. Period. But I feel like we have the better quarterback. We have the better wide receivers, and just overall in general, we're better. And I'm not saying that this could definitely be a loss. It could be. We don't know. But if it is a win, I think we have a possibility to go 11-1, or even if we lose, I still think we could go 10-2 the rest of the season.
Well, that's
it's possible.
Yeah, that sure. I mean, that's Alabama's a talented team. I don't want to sell this team short at all. So, yeah, if they lose to Georgia, they're still a possibility that they could run the table, but obviously you're in much better shape if you win this game a week from Saturday night, and then you are if you lose it. So that's just that simple. I mean, it's a huge game, and if Alabama wins that game, they're on track to do something special. If they lose it, they're gonna have a lot of work to do. That's just the way it is in this conference. But they're capable of beating Georgia. There's no doubt about it. Alabama's Kirby Smart's 1-5 against Alabama. I mean, Alabama's had Georgia's number. So, that's something that Georgia's got to overcome. But, you know, right now with the game being in Athens and being at night and being at home, I think most people are going to, you know, Georgia being unbeaten, coming off that win at Tennessee, I think most people will probably pick Georgia to win the game. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they're going to go out on the field and play.
Yeah. I mean, I would have no doubt. I mean, and I would respect people's opinion if they decide to go with them. I mean, they do have us going in as an underdog right now. But you can't underestimate anybody at this point. I feel like this game is just about the same caliber as a season opener against Florida State. Because your season opener, it does kind of make a statement and determine your flow and how you're going to go into this season continuing. But with this being your first in-conference game, this makes it or break it for your conference record, I feel like, because this could determine your playoff rankings, you know, determine if you're going to even make it into the playoffs. They could nitpick and just say, hey, because of that, we don't want you in. They might not even consider strength of schedule. So I just feel like this could make it or break it either way, win or loss.
Well, it's going to be fun, and I'm very happy with the way the schedule worked out for both these teams to have a bye to kind of catch our breath, because next week's going to be crazy with the hype for this game. So, hey, great to hear from you, Mary.
Absolutely. Real fun.
Thank you. Great phone call. And Mary's right. I mean, this game against Georgia is huge for Alabama, but I will remind you, it's not the end of the season if Bama loses it. Just like she said, you know, you're 2-2, and you could come back and win the next eight and get to 10-2. So there's still going to be football after this game. But right now, with Alabama having dropped that game early at Florida State, this one is huge for the Tide a week from Saturday night in Athens. Well, we've done a good job of running down the schedule for you already for the weekend with Coach Ellis Johnson. And tomorrow morning, I will have my SEC point spread predictions, as I said last week, going 7-4. Pretty good, pretty solid week. So 3 weeks, 6-5, 5-5, and 7-4. We'll have those tomorrow. But reminder, I will be in studio tomorrow. No Fridays at the Free since there's no game. We'll be back next Friday prior to the Georgia game in Athens for Friday at the Free, and we'll have our Bama football trivia contest. We'll resume that week as well. All right, let's get to a break here. Before we do, I do want to mention to you that golf season is in great shape right now simply because of the fact that there is no rain. Now, yeah, it's a little dry, and some of the courses might be browning up a little bit from lack of rain, but all in all, it's a great time to play golf. It's still hot, but cooler weather is around the corner. And if you want a hidden gem in Tuscaloosa, then you need to play Hidden Pines, or Tall Pines, I should say, is a hidden gem in Tuscaloosa. Over in the Woodland Forest community, 205-556-1232 to make a tee time, open for public play Tuesday through Sunday. Tall Pines Golf Course, a hidden gem in Tuscaloosa. We'll be back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340, next here on The Gary Harris Show.
Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's time to visit with my pal Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Going to talk a little college and high school football. Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
Doing great, man. A little bit of the calm before the storm, which I kind of like. Normally, you'd be three games in and we're already having a bye, but I think with Georgia and Alabama playing next week, it's kind of worked out well. Do you agree?
It's got a Super Bowl feel to it.
It does.
I love it. No, I think I think the anticipation is building, and I mean, I love the fact that, you know, the SEC has designed the schedule, and same way with Alabama, LSU, right, where, you know, they give these two teams, you know, an extra week to get ready because they know this is going to be the marquee game, and they want both teams to be, you know, 100% at their best.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think they will be, and we'll obviously break that one down in depth next week. But this week, not the greatest schedule, but again, the SEC making sure that they've got a couple of SEC versus SEC games. You've got South Carolina going to Missouri, but the big one is Auburn at Oklahoma, 2:30 Saturday afternoon on ABC, your station, so I know you're excited about that. But this is such an interesting game because both these teams are off to undefeated starts, have playoff aspirations after disappointing seasons last year. We got the quarterback swap with Jackson Arnold now at Auburn. And kind of interesting, you know, Brent Venables has been very complimentary, but nobody has said much about how that went down. It appears that, you know, Oklahoma would have liked to have kept Jackson Arnold, but he and his family made a decision. They jumped in the portal there at Auburn. Oklahoma brings in Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator from Washington State, and that, of course, means they brought in John Mateer, the quarterback who they feel like is an upgrade over Jackson Arnold. So there's some drama here. There's some big storylines, but the bottom line is the winner of this game has a lot of momentum, and the loser is going to be running uphill. This is a huge football game Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it really is, and I do think both teams, you know, upgraded their quarterback position. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say on what scale, you know, dramatically they upgraded them, but it's an upgrade. And, you know, Auburn, you know, Jackson Arnold has been, you know, more efficient, better with the football, taking care of the football than, you know, Peyton Thorne was at this time a year ago. So, you know, they feel like they're better there. And then, you know, what a great fit, you know, for Oklahoma to bring over the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, because, you know, they're both comfortable with each other. They both know each other, and they're just off to a great start. And I really thought, as much hubbub and, you know, hype there was about Arch Manning at SEC Media Days, I was just as impressed, if not more, with the way Mateer handled himself at Media Days. The confidence, the swagger, and just the, you know, just the way he handled the media. So I've been looking forward to seeing this guy play since he walked out the door at Media Days in July.
Jeff, is it too simplistic to think this game comes down to whichever quarterback plays the best?
No. I mean, it's like all the coaches say. I mean, the quarterback handles the ball every single time, every single play. And it goes through them. And it's all going to come down to, you know, how does Arnold handle this situation? And to me, going in, I've got a little more confidence in Mateer being able to handle this situation than Arnold, simply because, you know, he's got the home crowd in front of him. You know, he's got a lot of skill guys around him, and so does Arnold. But, you know, it's going to be imperative, you know, for Arnold to get off to a good start, not make any mistakes, you know, and I think it helps that, you know, he can use his legs, because there's a little bit more nervous tension, you know, when you're trying to throw a football and, you know, thread a needle and all that stuff. But if you can use your legs to break off, you know, a couple of nice runs to kind of get the adrenaline flowing and all that, I mean, I think that's going to be important. So, but how he handles that situation is going to be critical, because, you know, certainly Oklahoma's favorite. They should be. They're at home. You know, they're rocking and rolling. Mateer's off to a great start. So all the pressure, it would seem, you know, would be on Jackson Arnold here.
So you like Oklahoma in this game?
I do like Oklahoma in this game. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm terrible at predicting scores, but I do like Oklahoma to win this one.
When you look at South Carolina at Missouri, boy, Lenore Sellers, I mean, Ellis Johnson was on earlier. He compared it to Jalen Milroe a little bit last year, and that, you know, maybe they're trying, Mike Shula's maybe trying to make him too much of a quarterback in the traditional sense, and kind of taking away maybe some of his athleticism. He got hurt last week as they got pounded at home by Vanderbilt. Now they go to Missouri, and this Missouri team now, boy, they can score some points, and they're at home. South Carolina, those desperate. And you know how it is in the SEC. A lot of times a team will look terrible at home, and you'll count them out, and they'll go on the road, and they'll rebound and play well. How do you see this game?
Well, you know, here's Missouri. They just cracked, you know, the top 25, right? They're in the top 25, but they are flying so far under the radar, you know, and I think people are waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, when it comes to Eli Drinkwitz. And they're expecting Missouri to like tank or something and just go back to being, you know, the old Missouri, you know, that they were. But Drinkwitz is a guy who just, you know, I think he really feels like he's got something going great, you know, up there. And this is a chance, you know, once again, you know, you're playing an SEC game, a chance to prove to people that, you know, Mizzou's going to be hanging around for a while and are going to have something to say about, you know, who wins the SEC. And so I think it's another opportunity for them to make a statement.
Those are the only two SEC versus SEC games. But we got some interesting non-conference matchups led by Florida at Miami. Oh, boy, Billy Napier for the second year in a row. He's under fire. And Lagway threw five interceptions, threw for a lot of yards, but five interceptions on the road in Baton Rouge. Probably they're fortunate it was only 20-10. Florida looks like a mess right now. At the same time, again, I mean, rivalry games can be funny. Do you see any hope for the Gators going into Miami this Saturday against the Miami team that, you know, is a top five type team right now?
Yeah, none at all. I mean, Carson Beck is playing so well right now. I mean, you look at some Heisman odds, and he's just, you know, to the top of some of them. I think he's just, I mean, I loved this guy when he was at Georgia. I mean, I was just really impressed with the way that, you know, he brought his team back in that game in Tuscaloosa in such a hostile environment and hostile situation, but how he kind of kept his head about him and willed them, you know, back into the ball game. And he's just going great, you know, for Miami and Florida. You know, the wheels aren't just coming off, Gary. They've come off, you know, and they're I mean, Napier is just on borrowed time right now. The way this team handled themselves, you know, at LSU, the pregame altercations, you know, the coach, the assistant coach suspended. Getting involved and getting suspended for three games. I mean, it's just the program's out of control. There's no discipline. And, you know, this may be the game where, you know, it's going to be ugly. It will be ugly. This may be a Monday where Scott Strickland's got to make a move and he may have to pull the plug.
Okay. So you think Florida could follow UCLA and Virginia Tech in firing their coach in season?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where not only is it not getting any better, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
And week by week, the program looks worse, you know, from a disciplinary standpoint. It's just a bad look. And I think you have to make a change in leadership at that point. You can't wait and let it, you know, let this thing go the entire year.
Ole Miss will take it. You know, they survived against Arkansas, and that's a big difference. I think Arkansas is a better team than Kentucky was last year, but Kentucky last year in Oxford beat Ole Miss, and, boy, they would have, you know, taken a one-point win. I thought Arkansas should have won the game, but they didn't. But now Ole Miss has Tulane coming in on Saturday. And is this a upset alert for you?
Well, incidentally – I work with a lot of football fans here, and I know you know you do as well. And there's a Florida fan who works on the sales side of the building, and I said, "Oh man, you got a big game." He goes, "No, listen, man, I'm good. You know, I'm rooting for Florida to lose because you know we're waiting on Lane Kiffin to come to the rescue."
It's already to that point, okay?
And rescue the Florida Gators.
No, I
don't see. I think Lane's doing a wonderful job, you know, there at Ole Miss. I mean, this year, and I don't really see them missing a beat. I don't see any upset in their future here.
Yeah, what Lane can do with quarterbacks is impressive. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss, a Division II quarterback last year in his first career start last week in the SEC, throws for 353 with Simmons out. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Lane is one of the. Yeah, he's one of the premier quarterback, you know, head coaches, but one of the premier quarterback coaches in the country. Speaking of Arkansas, they go to the Liberty Bowl. I guess now it's Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, but they go to Memphis in a rivalry game, coming off that heartbreaking loss at Ole Miss. Could the Razorbacks be primed for an upset against the Memphis Tigers?
Well, I mean, Memphis, you know, has got some momentum here. I mean, they got the win over Troy, you know, last week. And I kind of, you know, kept an eyeball on that game and, you know, kind of liked what I saw. I think if you go in and you're just assuming that all because you're an SEC and, you know, you can beat this group of five team, you know, we've seen situations where that hasn't really worked out well, you know, for a Power Four. But, I mean, we'll see. I like Arkansas. I like Arkansas to win this game, but it wouldn't surprise me if Memphis took it down to the wire.
All right. The UAB Blazers go to Knoxville, and Tennessee would, you think, win this one by a mile. They're 38.5-point favorite, but they are coming off that overtime gut-wrenching loss to Georgia. UAB has a quarterback in Kitna that can sling it. We've seen UAB go to Knoxville before and, you know, be representative in terms of their effort. You think UAB has any chance to make this game competitive?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I think UAB's got some athletes on offense, you know, that they'll be able to score some points in Knoxville. But they're unless Tennessee's just really just hung over and depressed, about losing to Georgia for 9 years in a row now. If they come out angry and they come out with an edge, then Tennessee can kind of name their score in terms of how many points they want to score against this defense. Because, you know, they still have some issues. Dilfer seems to think they're getting better week by week, and I don't doubt him at all. But, I mean, you saw the way Aguilar and those receivers, you know, play pitch and catch, you know, against Georgia last week. So I don't think UAB's got no hope in this game. I think they'll be able to score some points, but they're not going to be able to stop Aguilar.
Charles Kelly of Jack State almost upset UCF, then had a heck of a win at home against Liberty. But then I would say, Jeff, that was a disappointing loss at Georgia Southern last week. I thought Jack State would win that game. But the good news is, and my friend Jody Wright's the head coach there, but Murray State is awful. I mean, absolutely terrible. So Jack State at home on Saturday night against Murray State should win big.
Yeah, a good opportunity for them to get well. I think a lot of fans are behind this team, and that'll be a good atmosphere, you know, at Amherst Stadium. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, if you've got Alabama on a bye week, you've got Auburn playing, you know, at Oklahoma and all that stuff. I think, man, if you're a college football fan, if you're looking for a good little show to watch, then it's worth your while to take a little trip to Jacksonville and check out this team, because, you know, they're really good. I mean, Cam Cook and making some plays on offense, and their defense is flying all over the place. And I know they gave up a lot of points to Georgia Southern over the weekend, but I think this is a good bounce back time for them. And I think Charles Kelly's got something going over there, I think.
And I would say the same thing about for particularly people that live here in West Alabama. UWA and Scott Cochran off to a 3-0 start. And they've got a 6 o'clock game on Saturday night at home against Barton, chance to go to 4-0. So that's worth checking out as well. Scott Cochran, man, I guess they knew they were going to get a lot of buzz out of hiring him. But the fact that they're off to a 3-0 start, you know, that's the bottom line. Look out for the Tigers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's some good football being played in this state. Proud of Scott, what he's done there. And, looking forward to seeing what they do for the rest of the year. But we got good programs. We got good coaches, you know, in this state at those two places. And it's good to watch this football being played.
All right. Corey from Trustful called in earlier and wanted to get your take on the big game tomorrow night at Hillcrest. Patriots hosting Hewitt Trustful. He thinks this might be the year that Hewitt Trustful comes out of 7A Region 3. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I love what Hewitt Trustful is doing. I always loved, Josh Floyd. And, you know, they had a little setback earlier in the year. They lost their quarterback to a collarbone injury. They, you know, put his son in at quarterback and, a freshman. You know, Jack coming in there and taking over things, and they just, you know, they went to Hoover, got a big win at Hoover, and they're rocking and rolling, man. This could be the year, you know, they do it and kind of, you know, rule the roost in 7A Region 3. But having said that, Thompson's not slowing down either. They beat their last two opponents 110-0. So Thompson is the king until someone says otherwise.
Yeah, and plus Hewitt's going to have their hands full with Hillcrest. Both those teams beat Hoover. And Vestavia, though, coming off a big win over Hillcrest at Thompson. You think they've got – Rebels have a shot at all?
I think they absolutely do. I think Charlie Taft is just playing incredible at quarterback. I think he had 294 total yards of offense, you know, last Friday. Just a great runner and throwing the ball really well. And Vestavia's doing it on defense too, and I think they got a shot, but I think Thompson wins that game. I think it could be closer, you know, than maybe some people think. But Vestavia's coming in with a lot of confidence and a lot of swagger, and there's something to be said for that. You know, they've been Thompson's, you know, they've been playing second fiddle to Thompson. A lot of people have in this region for a while, and I think Robert Evans and the guys want to come in and make a statement.
All right, high school football tomorrow night. Then on Saturday, you got a stacked schedule there at ABC 3340 with Auburn and Oklahoma. Other games as well. And then, of course, the EOG game wrap on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it, Gary. Appreciate it. And it's going to be a fun weekend, as it always is, every college football weekend. We're just getting started. And I appreciate you, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jeff. Great stuff. 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to break away. And when we come back, we'll have our final segment. But there's still time for you to get involved in the program. Have time for a couple phone calls, 205-342-9904. The calm before the storm. Alabama and Georgia both off this week, but next week we'll get cranked up with game week on Monday. We'll be back after this.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour special.
Free. That's right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. A few isolated showers are possible this afternoon and this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow and Saturday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're winding it down for this Thursday episode. Back tomorrow in studio. No Fridays at the Free since there's no game this weekend. But I'll be in studio with you. Have a good show on tap for you tomorrow. Again, Thursday night NFL tonight. We've got Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo is an 11.5-point favorite. That game is on Prime. So no over-the-air TV for this one. I wish I were more positive, Chase, about the Dolphins tonight, but I mean, Miami's got some weapons on offense, but They were dreadful against the Colts in the opener, and then they lost their second game against the Patriots, a game they could have won. And going to Buffalo, as I said, I wish they were a little more optimistic for Tua and company. But who knows? I mean, the NFL, listen, it's pro football. I mean, one team can always beat the other team, but the Dolphins a big underdog tonight against the Bills. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the show. And this hour has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. A reminder to catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23. Then back here tomorrow morning, as I said, for the TGIF edition of the program. Always have a lot of fun, even though we're not at Innisfree this Friday. We'll be in studio kicking it with Chase Brumfield tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So I will talk to you then. The Miller's Edge is coming up next, followed by Wyatt's college football show. I mean, he just talks college football nonstop from 1 to 2. And then, of course, Ryan Fowler will take you home with the game from 2 until 6. All right, have a great day, everybody. And I'll talk to you again on Friday morning for the TGIF edition at 9 a.m.